What up? We back. We back, we back. Another day. Another beautiful day to get it. Monday, July 16th, 2018. Oh, it's hot. It is fucking hot out there, guys. I'm telling you. Wow. I don't know where you're listening from this, from, but here in Ontario, Canada, where I'm living, we, oof, it is fucking, oh, I'm telling you, man. I'd rather it much be colder. Rather be minus 30 than plus 30. For sure. I mean, fuck's sakes, the weekend, it really, man, I've been swearing a lot. Sorry about that, guys. It's been on podcast, I don't care, but I like to not swear as much. Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, plus 40 on the weekends. No AC. It's been a tough one, that's for sure. But I've been managing. Luckily, it's been like some cooler nights, so it's been a little easier to fall asleep. It hasn't been like super humid or anything like that. So that's good. But yeah. So I got my job back at Mark's. Pretty happy about that. Starting about a week. So I got some time to kill. So, we're coming out with this podcast nice, fresh, and early Monday. Man, I could be working my other job right now. I could be halfway through working for $16 an hour doing cable right now. Think of that. It's crazy how, you just have, so many directions in life that you can choose. And, I mean, yeah, I chose this one. Glad I'm not doing it. Just wasn't a good fit for me. Man, much respect, like I said, to all you guys out there that work more hours because the pay is less. For sure. But you all have the choice to upgrade, right? Everyone's got the choice to go back to school or do whatever they want, So I'm gonna definitely figure things out. So the weekend. So much fights that happened during the weekend, eh, guys? Insane. Really, when you think about it. Three events, two Bellator, one UFC. Wow. Incredible. Bellator killed it. I really enjoyed the Bellator cards, to be honest. We can go through them pretty quickly. Yeah, Friday night, Bellator, Julia Budd defeats her opponent there. Wasn't quite familiar with her opponent. Not too many times watching Julia Budd, to be honest, in my experience. So this was quite good. I like the way Julia Budd fights. And the entire time I was thinking, I was like, oh, what would Julia be like against, Chris Cyborg, right? Because, I mean, as we're looking at the divisions here, UFC is definitely a lot more shallow than Bellator when it comes to their featherweight division. Bellator's kind of come up with, some not contenders, but some, bodies for the featherweight division at least. But on the other hand, we just see Chris Cyborg. Because, I mean, the Bellator featherweight division's been longer. It's been around longer than UFC's, but UFC's like, I mean, everyone that's fought in the featherweight can, well, I mean, not everybody, but there's definitely more names, more talent. I guess you could arguably say more talent in the featherweight division, better talent in the featherweight division in the UFC, even though some of them are stepping up from 35. But still, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think like Chris Cyborg. It'd be nice to see Chris Cyborg finish her contract out, then do the Bellator route. Take that too. So then, you can. If I was her, I would just go around taking organizations featherweight championship belts. I'd be even looking at PFL and say like, come on, that's my $1 million if anyone's like willing to step up. So try and piece together some people. Like if I was literally. I guess the thing about MMA, you never know what can happen, but if I was so dominant in my sport, I would go around and just collect all the belts. That's what they do in boxing, you know, unificate this belt, you know, get these belt united, unification and all that shit, you know, like, so, I mean, we'll see. Julia did pretty good. I was impressed with her, like, she was fighting kind of a tin can, let's be honest, but I mean, she performed really well and she dominated. That was on Friday. Before that was Michael McDonald, who had a really nice knockout. But as he was saying, I mean, he doesn't seem like this is just really the career for him, to be honest. I mean, he does well, there's no doubt. But I mean, he broke his hand again, he says. And prior to this fight, he hasn't fought. Like, he's a one fight a year pony. So, I mean, doesn't it takes a while, you know, for him to actually come around for another showing. So if he broke his hand too, like, damn. And he was saying, like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. My body keeps breaking down. Like, maybe you shouldn't, man. Maybe you should just do a coaching or, you know, find some other type of career. But I mean, you're definitely a talented young kid, but I hope Bellator doesn't, you know, invest too much into him, because he seems like he's kind of like the Ally Aquinta of the Bellator, to be honest, you know. So yeah, that was on Friday, so that's pretty good. On Saturday, Bellator's main event with Patricio Ferreira, I guess. Yeah, he did a good job, but at the same time, the other fighter looked like kind of like a Carlos Condit style fighter. Like, he looked like him too and everything. But I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how they're coming up with these contenders that keep going. Like, how Bellator comes up with these contenders. We kind of just, as the viewer, have to be like confident that Bellator is doing the right matchmaking, to be honest. Because you never know. Is I don't know if that guy that Patricky fought was the number one rightful contender. Like, I have no idea. And frankly, oh man, like, I don't know. I haven't, like, Patricky, he shows heavy hands and everything, but the commentary definitely builds up a lot more than, like, they sugarcoated the shit out of it. Let's put it that way. Because there was nothing that was going on the entire 20 minutes. I would probably say there was about 5 solid minutes of action, like, throughout the whole 25-minute fight. I'm like, holy shit, this was compared to the other fights before that. There's a lot of knockouts and stuff, and it really slowed up tonight. Especially because the co-main was so impressive. The co-main, wow, with Korshkov, wow, the spinning back, spinning sidekick to the low midsection, I guess the liver. He hit it so well, and his opponent was covering, like, his body, as like, he kind of knew that it was coming. So he covered his body because his back was towards the cage, even though he should have really circled off the cage. But yeah, he, like, you know, he covered himself. He covered a little bit of his body, but the kick still got through, and still, like, it was so accurate, it crumpled him. But the force was so strong that it just, like, it landed, and, like, it threw, like, the momentum just tossed the opponent back to the cage, and, like, he bounced off the cage, and he was trying to, like, you know, he tried to grab it for a second and just fell, and then Korshkov just comes in and takes off, like, you know, some ground and pound, vicious, very vicious, crazy knockout for sure. He was very impressive. That was such an impressive, like, win. There's a lot of, that was my first time seeing Korshkov, and I was impressed. Like, there's been a lot of hype on him, and I'm like kind of questioning it, being like, we'll see what this guy's really got. But that guy's the real deal, man. Like, but he didn't fucking do anything on the mic. He really should have called out, like, the champ. Why didn't you call out Douglas Lima? Or why didn't you call out Rory? Like, should have called out someone, like, or you should have said that you were going to be in the heavyweight Grand Prix, or not the heavyweight, the welterweight. But to say, like, oh, I'll take whoever they give me next, like, fuck. Give me next. Fucking same thing everybody says. Every fighter says, like, come on, man, don't. get a little bit more out of that fucking mic time, man. Like, so people can actually care about you. Like, I don't know. I would much rather hear someone say, thank you, to, my coaches and all that stuff, instead of, just saying that stupid answer. I mean, jeez, man. The guy had nothing on the mic. I'm sorry, but he's an impressive fighter. Very impressive fighter, for sure. So, let's get into the UFC. Damn, man, this was insane. This was insane. It was great. It was a great card. It was great. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Looking back on it, I'm gonna probably say it was probably about an eight. An eight. Yeah, I give it that. So, happened on July 14, 2018, at the CenturyLink Arena in Boise, Idaho. Attendance 5,648. It's a very small venue, I guess. But yeah, it total gate was 5,900. I mean, $591,575. So, let's go through the top down. Alrighty. Oh, so JDS defeats Ivanov, Blagoy Ivanov, in a unanimous decision. 50-45, 50-45, 50-45. So every round went JDS's way. It was kind of closer than that, I found. But because you look at JDS's face afterwards, and it was super bloody. Like, it actually looked kind of like a complete mess, to be honest. He was looking pretty bad. But he's been in so many wars that I guess his face kind of, patches up. Like, it ble it leaks pretty easily, so. Yeah, it was good seeing him back. I found he was really good with his boxing. And, yeah, just the control of the cage and everything like that. His distance management and, the risks he took, because he wasn't afraid of taking risks, but he was also like aware of this guy's power, because Ivanov definitely has some power, and he's strong, like I would say. JDS landed some punches. Like, they both landed some very serious punches. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't a huge war or anything, but Ivanov definitely got some in there that made JDS respect his power there for sure. And I think the main thing was that JDS couldn't put Ivanov away. We thought he could, but he couldn't. They really put it out there, I find. And by the last round, I was coming back a little bit. But throughout the whole fight, it was just JDS being very, very persistent. Very accurate with his strikes, and yeah, very, very patient, not over committing or anything like that. Yeah, no, it was great. So, JDS, I'd like to see, he can do two things here. He can go into, it would be nice to see the Werdum fight, the second one, to see how that one goes. But personally, I'd like to see, I'd like to see Stipe fight him again for the third time, because, but this would be the perfect time for Cain to come back. Like, damn it, if Cain was back right now, that would be the perfect fight for him to come back in, So, I kind of think that he should fight Stipe. It would be awesome if Stipe went in and, murked him, which I think he will again. But, I don't know. Yeah, they're probably gonna, it's gonna be weird, but it's good that he's back. That's a good thing. And it's good that Ivanov is back too. You introduced two nice heavyweights into the division that really needed something, for those guys up at the top. Because with the two fights from 226 with Ngannou and Lewis, they're kind of both in limbo right now. Like, they're both in limbo right now. You look at the heavyweight rankings, everyone's went down, which is crazy. I mean, you look at the top 10, it's Stipe, Derek, which is crazy. Derek is in second place. What? Stipe, Derek, Curtis, Francis, Alexander Volkov, Alistair Overeem, Mark Hunt, JDS, Marcin Dibera, Tai Tuivasa. Interesting. Very interesting for sure. So, I mean, Ivanov will definitely have another chance at another top 15 by the end of the year, I think so. He's a good fighter and he deserves to be in there. I think he could beat Olenek, but I don't know. It gets pretty old. Arlovski's up there and Struve, and I mean, yeah, we'll see. So, yeah. Sage Northcutt defeats Zach Otto. KO punches, 3 minutes, 13 seconds in the second round. Yeah, Zach dropped Sage in the first 30 seconds, rocked him completely. Eyes rolled back. I thought that was it, and I knew it too because I knew Zach hits hard. Like Sage does too, but Zach's been, a welterweight for a while, and yeah, he followed him to the ground, but he didn't land much damage, and Zach pretty much gassed, trying to go for takedowns, and didn't want to stand with Sage after that, which was weird because you almost knocked him out, but now you're afraid to stand up with him. It was weird, and then next thing you know, yeah, he gets rocked, pretty much gets some hammer fists on the jaw, and that's it. So Sage wins, and like I mean, it was a decent knockout, but as for Sage, like that's a good win. It's a good win for sure. It is a good win. It's a better opponent, definitely a better opponent, but we're still yet to see Sage against someone that's, I mean, he's really young too, so. This is like the developmental. He's like Sage is in a developmental contract. That's really what it is. I mean, because they're handing him all these fights. He's young. They're trying to get him on like a 4-fight win streak to, if he rolls this into a 4-fight win streak in a couple of years, he'll be 24, 25, and then he can start. Well, actually, he's on a 3-fight win streak right now after this. So if he gets 4 more wins, maybe they can hand him. It'd be cool if they handed him like a top 15. Cause I mean, you look at welterweight right now, and like, I mean, I think most of those guys would still take out Sage pretty easily. I think Sage has still like about 2 years. Like, cause even Oliveira is, and Gunnar Nelson are still pretty, and Dong-Yong Kim are still all really dangerous contenders, like they've had some shitty nights that set them back, but I mean, like Donald Cerrone would probably be the easiest fight for Sage in that top 15 in welterweight, but it'd be cool if he had like minimum 2 more fights before he gets in the top 15, maximum 4 in between there, but don't give him his next fight in the top 15, certainly not. So, Rick Lynn defeats Dennis Bermudez in a split decision. Third straight loss for Dennis Bermudez. Third straight split decision loss for Dennis Bermudez. I found that Dennis Bermudez really took it to Rick Lynn, but Rick Lynn was very technical. He always does that bobbing kind of with his head and stuff. And I think it's a really good technique because it throws off like a lot of guys' timing when it comes to like the in and out. He's kind of got like a movement that you really don't see too much, like Rick Glenn. And being on this win streak that he's on, even though he did lose against Miles Jury, Felipe Nover is pretty good. Gavin Tucker is pretty good. Miles Jury is pretty good, and he lost. Yeah, so Dennis Bermudez, I mean, it's a good win, but I feel like Dennis could have won that. Like, it was super close. It could have went either way. So, I mean, they shouldn't cut Dennis Bermudez. Not at all. And then we got Nico Bryce defeating Randy Brown, KO punches. 1 minute. 9 seconds in the second round. Brown long using his length, great landing, Price long, I mean Price strong, Price landing some hammer fist from the bottom, and KO as well, going for a leg lock, while Randy Brown was, leaving himself unprotected. It was pretty cool. It kind of just shows, like, you get knocked out by the punches you don't see. And he got knocked out pretty bad there, to be honest. Like, he didn't see that coming, and he got hit, like, probably three more times more than he should have from those hammer fists. But the ref wasn't doing his job as quick as he should have been. That's the sport we watch. But that was a great knockout, for sure. For sure. And then Chad Money Mendez defeats Miles Jury, KO punches. Chad's back, baby. Chad pressuring, dips, lands a beautiful left hook, and Jury, just land, just falls on the ground, stunned, and then Chad just goes and finishes up with some beautiful ground and pound. Super strong. Chad, great, like, finishing instincts. Great performance for sure. It's nice to have him back in that featherweight division. I'd like to see him. I see Chad Miles Jury was 12, but Chad's I think like in that top 5 to 10 range, if not like ooh, top three, maybe. I don't know. He's top three. He's maybe like 3 to 6. Yeah, because that top three is really tight at really close to featherweight. But it depends if Max Holloway stays at featherweight. That's a decision he's gonna have to make. But Ketsen Ngannou defeats Marlon Renault in a unanimous decision. Beautiful win. Ketsen Ngannou breaking that losing streak. Great top control. Great striking. Yeah, she's got a different way of fighting for sure, and it's effective. It's definitely effective. It kind of reminds me of Cindy Dand was, but with much better striking, like 100 times better striking, and better fighter IQ for sure. So, it'd be cool to see, who they set her up with next. Really, it'd be interesting. Yeah, because she's number six, and I mean it's a pretty tight race up at there at bantamweight, kind of. Well, actually no, there's room to get in because I mean Raquel just came off a loss, and Jermaine's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and pretty much Holm. Yeah, Holm's coming back to bantamweight, I think. So I think Holm and Nunes is probably next, but Ketlen Vieira could be. And I don't know, it depends if Kedzen Gano ends up getting someone behind her or in front of her. It's hard to say. But then, yeah, Alejandro Perez defeats Eddie Wineland, unanimous decision. That was a close win. I mean, that was a close fight, to be honest. I think Eddie could have got it, but I mean, he was bleeding more, so it looked like more evident on the, judges' screens that he was taking more damage when really. He's just been in a hell of a lot of fights. Like, he's a WEC champion. So, I mean, pretty crazy. He just opens up easier. But he's a fighter. He's a dog, you know. He dropped Perez twice, but lets him recover. Like, Eddie had great pressure and head movement, rolling with the punches. But, Perez was cool to stay pressured against the cage and countering and, like, circling and all that stuff. And, that got him the win. And then Alexander Volkanovski defeats Darren Elkins, unanimous decision. Damn, that was close. What a close fight. I mean, like, Darren was going for it. Darren's such a dog. Such a dog when it comes to this shit. Like, he doesn't care at all. Like, he'll keep fighting no matter how bloody he is. Like, no matter what. So, I mean, crazy, crazy fight. Crazy fight. It was a great fight. Sorry, I'm just checking something real quick here. Okay. Yeah, and then Saeed Nurmagomedov defeats Justin Scoggins. Yeah. Raoni Barcelos defeats Kurt Bayokic in a KO. 3 minutes, I mean, third round, 1 minute, 29 seconds in. Yeah. And Liz Carmouche defeats Jennifer Maia. Yeah, Liz, great stand-up, strong kicks, creative, manages range well, very well, and strong on top. Maia lots of clinching, but not doing much. Maia tried to fix her bra, and then Liz took advantage. Liz super strong on top and aggressive at keeping her down. And then Mark De La Rosa defeats Elias Garcia, submission, rear naked choke. Pretty sick. With him and his wife both getting rear naked chokes. And then Jessica Aguilar defeats Jody Esquivel in the unanimous decision. So it was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good for sure. I enjoyed it. Lots of talented people, good results. Your fight of the night goes to Raoni Barcelos versus Kurt Holobaugh. And then performance night of the night goes to Nico Price and Chad Mendes. I'd say the prospect of their weekend is Rick Glenn. Yeah, Rick Glenn. Let's see. No, Sage. Either Rick or Sage. Because they're both young, but we'll see. The winner of the weekend, I would probably say, I'd probably say JDS. Doing full 25 minutes in the ring after not coming back for such a long time. That's good to get that ring time. And, that's awesome. Now he'll be more confident to go in there in his next one. Winner, or I mean loser of the weekend, I would probably say, Dennis Bermudez, because he lost that split decision. Very close, but I hope they don't kick, cut him and stuff like that. And then this fighter I'd say that improved the most over the last time we've seen him, or her, would probably be, huh, interesting. I'd probably say Nico Price. Nico did a great job, for sure, since last time. Showed more composure. He showed that he had, those killer instincts when he needed them. He showed that he was dangerous at all times in any position. That was creative and unorthodox what he did, knocking out Randy Brown. So definitely, most he improved for sure. And then the most violent fight of the weekend, I'd probably say, was the JDS and Ivanov. Well, yeah, I'd probably see that. And then, we had a better show over the weekend, Bellator or UFC. UFC for sure, but Bellator is pretty good too. I mean, yeah, they were pretty good. I enjoyed both. So that's that, guys. Thanks for listening. It's a shorter episode today for sure, but yeah, it was good. I'm gonna do another one coming up, probably in a couple days, covering UFC Fight Night, Shogun versus Smith. So that's gonna be sick. I can't believe it's like so soon. Oh shit, it's not next weekend. It's a couple weekends away. So this weekend there's no MMA. Fuck, that sucks. But at least during July 22nd, there'll be, there's a lot of like different talent, a lot of heavyweight, a lot of light heavyweight. It's a lot of the heavier weight classes for sure. So it should be a good card, I guess that's in a couple weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. So, oh shit, is it 20? I'm just gonna check real quick. Make sure that we aren't fudging this up. Man, it's hot. It is so fucking hot. Oh yeah, it is. It is this weekend. It's on the 22nd though. And it's a Sunday, so that's a different card for sure. Cool. Right on. Well, thank you guys very much. I will talk to you later. Awesome. Peace, guys.